Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And thank you for downloading our Compass Catholic podcast. And welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. We're going to help you work your way out of debt, no matter how large your debt may be, no matter how small the debt may be. And we'll even show you how to continue to live a debt-free life. At least check out our small group Bible study available to you, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Simply go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Books and Studies. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined today by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. And today's discussion is all about defining financial success. And John, sometimes it's hard to see your achievements when you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it can really be. You got to be able to take a step back and look at where you've come from to where you are today.
So we're going to talk about financial success and what it means to you. And too many times when we define financial success, we're looking at somebody else. We're using an outside standard instead of defining it for ourselves.
We look at the person who's got a six-figure income as financially successful. Or we think about the person who's got the biggest, fanciest car as financially successful. Or the people who live in the high-class area of town with the big houses, and they're financially successful.
But we often fail to take into account our own lifestyle, the goals that are specific to our own life, and our own starting point as a way to define financial success. It's like looking at someone who's a physical fitness trainer as a benchmark for defining your own financial fitness.
And that's
your own physical fitness, excuse me.
Yeah, your own physical fitness. And generally, that's a bad idea. Because all they do is work out every day. That's not a good way to compare.
And you're never going to go from being a couch potato to being a long-distance runner in a short period of time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that. You know, if we're trying to improve our health, you need to take it one step at a time. You have to acknowledge the weight that we lost over the last year, the amount of exercise that you're doing now, and the way you've changed your eating habits to become healthier.
So in a similar way, when we define financial success, we need to start with where we are, define where we're going, and measure how much progress we're making to get to our definition of financial success.
Financial success means different things to different people, and sometimes they're very different. Your definition of financial success is not the same as how your neighbor or your brother or even your friends define it, and maybe not even the way your spouse defines it.
And that's okay, except if it's your spouse, you both need to be on the same page about what the definition of financial success is.
Absolutely. So to some people, financial success might mean you don't have any debt. And to others, it might mean that you have total financial freedom. Some people may define financial success as being able to pay the monthly bills with a little bit left over.
But the best way to define financial success is very simple. Are you in a better financial position today than you were a year ago?
If so, guess what? You're making progress and you are becoming financially successful. What does being in a better financial shape mean? That really depends on your starting point. And it's an area that you need to define what the meaning is. It can't rely on somebody else to define it for you.
So maybe it means your net worth is better than it was a year ago. You're worth more this year than you were last year.
Yep, that's a great indicator. You know, you add up the value of all the things that you own. That's all your assets. And you subtract all your debts. That's your liabilities. And the bottom line number, is that higher or lower than it was last year? It's a pure mathematical formula.
And if your financial bottom line is positive and it's higher each year, then you're making progress, right?
Yep, absolutely. And if it's not, then you might be off track.
Now, does your financial success vary from the different stages of your life? Example, I'm in my 20s. Financial success may mean I can pay off all my bills with a little bit at the end of the month. 10 years before my retirement, I'm on track to be able to live in retirement without having to worry. So are there different degrees of financial success?
You know, in your 20s, it might not even be that you can pay your bills. It might mean that you're finally getting a paycheck.
Okay, you know? Okay, good point.
I was thinking in your 20s, it means I have enough money to move out of mom and dad's house.
And they're thinking the same thing.
Yeah, you might be on the same page there. But yeah, it varies for everybody. And I think it does. I mean, as we look back on our life, we see that we've had different definitions of financial success as we have gone through various periods in our life.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as you and Evelyn were talking. I was thinking myself, what I defined as financial success when I got out of college, had that first job, and then what was like, then I got married, had kids, then started thinking about retirement.
And I think there are two things in play there, Steve. One is life changes. You know, getting out of college, mm-hmm. getting married, having a child, getting ready for retirement. So there's those life stages you go through where things change. But there's also times where it changes based on how much progress you've made. You know, when you've made a certain amount of progress up to X point, then maybe financial success, maybe the bar moves out a little bit because you've made so much progress so far. Part of financial success is setting those goals and seeing where you want to go and then planning to be successful in the next stage of life.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think back to when I was in college and just after I graduated from college, I felt like I had financial success because anything that I wanted, I could pay for if I just worked long enough to save the money to get it. And so, you know, to me, that was financial success because I knew I could always get another job, a second job, a third job, whatever, to pay for what I was looking for. When we were in the throes of debt and losing money and everything, you know, that thought I wasn't a success at that point in time. And, you know, when you're in the depths of it, you know, think about this year versus last year. Did you live this year without incurring any extra debt? That's success. Have you got more money saved, even if it's only, you know, $1,000? Have you got more money saved this year than you had last year? You know, if that's true, that's being successful.
But see, I think that's a key that a lot of people miss. They think the benchmark is having $1 million saved or having some outrageous
exactly.
number that you just can't get to from here to there.
Exactly.
And they don't celebrate the little milestones along the way. And the best way to stay motivated is to celebrate those milestones as you progress through life.
Well, when you start comparing yourself to something in the world, you become worldly. And that's the bane of our finances in the first place. It causes us to go after all those wants and not be worried about the needs. And so when you compare, you know, I don't have $1 million, so I'm not successful, or I don't have this, or I don't, you become, your mind becomes worldly in that respect, and you got to take it out of there.
So when you think of defining financial success, you need to do it on your own terms. And no matter what anyone else is doing, if you're putting yourself in a better position little by little, then you're making progress and being financially successful, right?
Absolutely.
So that if you think financial success is impossible, look for a realistic definition that actually reflects where you are in life.
You know, if you have $25,000 in credit card debt and you reduce it to $20,000 by the end of the year, you have been financially successful. not as successful as if you'd paid the whole thing off, but
you've made progress.
You've made progress. That's right. You're 20% better than what you were before. That's a good thing. You know, if you haven't saved anything in retirement, but you can save $1,000 this year, that's an aspect of being financially successful.
So you have to figure out what financial success means in your own life and aim for that instead of comparing yourself to unrealistic expectations that you can never achieve. And the biggest challenge is looking at other people and comparing yourself to someone else.
Yeah, if you try to compare yourself to somebody who's got a salary that's 10 times what yours is, whoa, that's a bad way to go. And the problem is they probably have more debt than you have.
Well, it's easy to also look at somebody who may have an inheritance that they received from their parents and compare yourselves to them. And, you know, if you're not in that position, there's no way you can compare yourself to that kind of situation.
Yeah, you just have to quit comparing yourself to anybody else. Compare yourself to you. Are you better today than you were yesterday? Are you better today than you were last month or last year? That's where you determine your success. Can you do better today than you did yesterday? You know, that question, it's a very simple question. It eliminates all excuses that you may dream up for yourself. And you can't blame your failure on other people because they're getting breaks and you aren't. You make your success based on what you've done.
That's right. And it's the same thing that we said earlier about comparing financial success to health success. You know, you may weigh 300 pounds this year, but if you weigh 350 pounds last year, you're getting more healthy and you're making progress on your health journey. And that's the same thing with financial success. One step at a time. Are you better now than you were before?
Any one of us can make excuses about the disadvantages that we've experienced, you know, but that's not an excuse for not making progress. We all have disadvantages in various shapes and forms, okay? If you're concentrating on those disadvantages, then you're totally ignoring all the advantages that you've had in your life. You know, each one of us has a situation that's so unique that we can't compare our progress against anyone else's.
You know what came to mind here when you were talking about this? The Camino, in the pilgrimage on the Camino in Spain.
Yes.
You know, if somebody's taking the train from point A to point B and somebody's walking the Camino, the person who's walking can't say I'm a failure because it took me five times as long to get there as the person on the train, because it's two entirely different situations. And a lot of times we do something similar with our finances. We're comparing ourselves to someone who has a totally different situation, and you just can't compare like that.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible shows us are the best ways to handle money. Do you realize there are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that speak directly to handling money? You can learn more about our ministry and how we can help you learn how to handle your money. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Today, John and Evelyn Bean are helping you define financial success, because that definition should be tailored to you and your situation. So, Evelyn, what about the dangers of comparing yourself to other people when it comes to financial success?
You know, each of us has a situation that's so unique that we just can't compare ourselves against other people, and we can't compare our progress against where other people are. All we can really do is compare the progress we're making on our own journey.
Financial success isn't about hitting some arbitrary net worth number or buying a certain item. It's about a long-term journey, one step at a time, and to be in a better financial situation every month and every year. It's hard. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, but it's rewarding. And the reality is that success isn't life in a sprint. It's a marathon.
So you might sprint at first so you can feel a quick success, but lasting financial success is all about results month after month and year after year, just that ongoing progress to continue to make progress. It's about adopting better habits in your own life, ones that are sustainable, so that you can keep building financial success step by step.
Now, you may think that this is all pie in the sky kind of wishes, and it can be if you're not willing to do the work and also to appreciate what you have.
And so many times we concentrate on what we don't have instead of being appreciative for what we do have. That's a real key point here, John.
Yeah, think about all the blessings that God has given us. You know, we have fresh air to breathe. We have water to drink. We have access to a wide variety of nutritious foods than almost, you know, we have more access than almost anyone who has ever lived. We have an infinite supply of entertainment in the palm of our hand. You can reach out to anyone in the world almost instantly. And, you know, your life is better virtually than anyone who's ever lived on Earth before. So we have a better day-to-day existence than the richest ruler in the world.
So our life is terrible only if we don't appreciate what we have, because we're in this never-ending quest to make more, and we're in this never-ending quest to keep up with all the people around us. So rather than looking at what you do have, you concentrate on what you don't have, and that makes it feel like you're not making progress.
Absolutely. You know, it brings up a verse that really touched my heart when I learned it 30-some years ago. It's Philippians 4, and it's verses 11 through 13. It says, "Not that I say this because of need, for I have learned in whatever situation I find myself to be self-sufficient, read content. I know indeed how to live in humble circumstances. I also know how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and being in need. I have the strength for everything through Him who empowers me." And that's Paul talking to the Philippians. He's not focused on wants. He's just focused on what he has.
And he's grateful for what he has.
That's it. Absolutely.
So if we're looking at our own financial success, we need to start thinking about being grateful for what we do have. And I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about things like your health, the relationships you have in your life with your spouse, your family, your friends, your church family, the access we have to fresh water and food. We have a roof over our head. We have clothing. There's the unending entertainment John mentioned earlier, and unlimited tools for communicating with other people. And that's not a terrible thing. We all have so many blessings that we just don't appreciate.
But too often we see our life as terrible because we want more and more and more. And the truth of it is, for most of us, we don't need more. We just want more. You know, maybe your wish is to have a larger house, or, you know, you think that your 40-inch flat screen is too small, or that your perfectly good car is too old.
You know, so many times we don't look at the glass as 90% full. Instead, we obsess over the 10% of the glass that's empty. And we don't have that factor that says, thank you, God, for all the blessings you've given me.
So how do I reverse the trend of wants and needs? Just focus on the needs and not the wants. What do you tell an individual that you're coaching, or a couple that you're coaching?
Well, the first thing we try to do is to show them to be appreciative for where they are. You know, the one of the couples we're working with now has a pretty tough life. You know, they've had a lot of stuff thrown at them that is a very big challenge. But even with that, they still have some good things going on in their life. So we try to help them think about what the good things are, and then to just start making small steps of progress. They're not going to dig out of their debt in one day. They're not going to be able to pay everything off in one day. They can't pay off their mortgage next year. Things are going to be a little rough for a while, but we just help them try to understand that step at a time type mentality.
Are people willing to take it one step at a time, or are they looking within a week, my debt's gone?
That depends on who you're talking to. You know, there's an awful lot of people out there that are looking for a magic pill, you know, make it all disappear. Unless you've got a rich benefactor someplace, mm-hmm. you know, that's not going to happen. And even if you do, it's probably a bad thing, not a good thing, because if they wipe out all your debt, somebody just walked in and wiped out all your debt, or you won the lotto, not that you should be playing it, okay, but you look at what happens to all these people that win the lotto, and 3 years they're in bankruptcy again.
Yeah, because the bad habits haven't changed.
Nothing's changed, and they just spend because they have it. There are people who are looking, but it's not going to do them any good. But yet, if you can just look at it on a month-to-month basis, on a year-to-year basis, and focus on what you've accomplished. Like we said earlier, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. The couple that Evelyn's talking about, they're not going to pay off their mortgage in the next year, or probably even 10 years, okay? Hopefully in 10 years, they'll have all the other debt paid off. But, you know, you just have to keep moving and then look backwards and say, wow, look how far I've come. It's like when you're crawling up a mountain, you know, and you've been doing it for a long time. And then you turn around and look, wow, I'm up pretty high.
You know, Steve, I think what we find more often than not is people that are unwilling to do the hard work. They don't want to manage their spending. They don't want to do away with the things that are fun in life. They're not willing to sacrifice. It's just this attitude of I deserve what I want. I'm not willing to make the sacrifices to change things. And those, unfortunately, we run into that quite a few times where people just, they're just not willing to do the hard work to pay off debt and change their lifestyle, and they're not going to get anywhere. It's sad. So what really matters in terms of success and failure is how much effort you put into where you are and where you want to be. And if you work hard at managing your finances, no matter what happens, you'll be better off today than if you had done nothing at all. And that'll put you in a position where you can weather both the good and the bad that comes your way. And we define that as financial success. It's simply making a consistent effort and progress so that you're in a better financial place than you would have been without the effort.
Yeah, nothing else really matters because there's nothing else that you can really control. If someone says that financial success is impossible, you know, they probably have an arbitrary meaning, a worldly meaning, that someone else has provided for them. Or they've decided not to spend any effort to make things better, and they're just going to be unhappy. If you're choosing to put forth no effort to improve your finances, you're going to get exactly what you're working towards.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing's going to get better if you don't put in the effort. It's just not going to happen. If you want to have fewer debts, if you want to have money in the bank, if you want to be able to replace that car without hoping that you can get a car loan, then you need to start putting some effort into it. Effort is the single key ingredient to any kind of success.
And if you're married, you do it together.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It has to be together. You can't have one of you saving and the other one spending.
I'm just going to say, because that you're spinning your wheels.
Well, and that's, I think that's a game we've seen some married couples play. You know, oh, yeah. I'm willing to change as long as that person changes first, but they have to change first before I'll change. And then they just keep playing this, well, it's your fault that we're not changing. It's your fault that we're not changing. There's just this ping pong going back and forth, and neither one of them is willing to step out and be the first one to bite the bullet, so to speak.
And they're not even good ping pong players.
That was bad. You know, effort is always the single key ingredient in any kind of success. And if you're really working hard and you're really trying and you don't find success, then you either need to look at more carefully at where your effort is going, or maybe you need to look at a different definition of success. And you're not celebrating those small little steps. You're looking for the huge leaps and bounds that aren't going to come easily.
Yeah, never, never, ever judge your own success by the circumstances of somebody else's life. You know, it's their life, it's not your life. It's their shoes that they're wearing, it's not your shoes, and you're not wearing their shoes. You know, it's either going to make you frustrated or it's going to make you totally complacent, and neither one of those is a good way to be. So instead, compare where you are now to your past and see if you're making progress.
We hope that you were able to grasp the points that we were trying to make, that when you look back 1 month or 1 year, you do see that you are making financial progress. And as John and Evelyn repeated several times over the last 30 minutes, you have to make the effort to improve. And do not compare yourself to anyone. Just have a plan, stick to that plan to improve yourself financially. Okay, let's get to some of the questions we received this week via email. John and Evelyn, what percentage of my budget should I allocate to transportation? That includes vehicle maintenance, gas, oil, tires.
You know, John, a lot of times when people think about the transportation costs in their budget, what they're thinking about is car payments. But transportation costs are a lot more than car payments, correct?
Yeah, car payment, the actual payment part of this category should only equal 50% of what you've allocated for the category. The other 50% covers maintenance, it covers gas and oil and all the other costs that are associated with your automobile. For example, insurance. You know, a lot of people will put insurance separately. That's okay if you've got a whole category for insurance, but it could also be part of your automobile or your transportation costs. Or if you live in a city and you're riding the subway or the bus or whatever to get to work back and forth all the time, you've got to include those costs too. So payments, maximum 50% of the category.
And how much is that category out of my total budget?
No more than 15%.
We are asked that question quite often about percentage guidelines. And on our website, compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies and then select Navigating Your Finances God's Way and then the word Participants and scroll down to week 7. We have a spreadsheet that will lay out a recommended percentage guidelines to help you when you're setting up your spending plan. Okay, here's another question for John and Evelyn. I am about to get married and my fiance wants to rent furniture from a rental center until we can afford to buy what we really want. Is this a good idea?
I think it's a terrible idea to pay to rent furniture. That's a really expensive way to do it, and you'd be better off seeing if you could get furniture from relatives that maybe aren't using it, or garage sales, or flea markets. It might not be gorgeous, but it's better than paying a lot of money to rent furniture.
Absolutely, I agree with you, and in fact, we did that. Our very first house that we had, we were renting it. Actually, it was part of my salary for the job that I had at that time. And we had a complete house, 3 bedrooms of early attic.
And it was just fine.
And
it
worked super. In fact, I really wish that we had been able to keep some of those things because they were really great, great pieces of furniture.
You know, the other point is that when you do get the furniture that you really want, you'll appreciate it more. That's the first point. And the second point is that often living in a place and having things around you makes you decide on what you really want. Whereas if you buy the furniture to begin with,
because
it may not
think you want it.
Because you think you want it, it may not serve you long term.
And that will do it for us. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we upload a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down, click on podcast. While you're there, you can also take a look at the archive library of podcasts we've done over the last several years. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.